Thank you, Sadie. So without further ado, thank you for that. I invite our next speaker, Serge Petard, who is the Deputy Director of the UCL Space Domain. And Serge is going to tell us, give us a bit of a forward look on where this is all going into the future. So, Serge. And I understand nobody who asked us four words, apparently, so it should be quite.
Thank you, Anne, for your kind words. I'm going to talk about what could we say about the looking forward to what has been described so far, particularly by Gérard, who indicated the main cornerstones through which space has developed. I'm sorry if I'm redundant with what Gérard said and Said said, but that's life. You don't compare notes before, unfortunately. So, space evidently is pervasive to the whole society. We depend more and more on space, and the fact that we depend on space means that we are vulnerable to, I would say, threats on space services or space objects. Just one figure, which is can be debatable, but it still runs through many minds. It says today that about 7% of the European GDP depends on space activities, not quite on space activities, it's tied to space. And a good experiment to confirm that, you just turn on satellites for 1 hour, 1 day, or 1 week, and you check how your life will develop. And you might find big surprises. So we are really dependent. The Outer Space Treaty is absolutely fundamental because it's thanks to the Outer Space Treaty that we could develop space activities we're enjoying today. And it was a very strong concept. Yet, the situation is changing, and I would concentrate my talk around four keywords. Space is congested, space is contested, space is competitive, and space is getting more and more complex. And this is a very, I would say, not brand new situation today. It has been an evolving situation since, I would say, the 90s. But it's a fact. We are not anymore in the nice times where essentially two rulers of space were at stance and new people were coming in, mostly the Europeans, the Japanese, and the Indians. So congested. Congested because today we have in space about 460 active satellites plus 23,000 debris of a size larger than 10 centimeters and probably 750,000 degrees of a size of 1 centimeter. So this is huge, and I think Gérard Bachet indicated the threats it can bring to a number of, I would say, space assets, and the necessity we have to manage this operation of satellites because of the debris. And this will continuously going to develop, in particular, regarding the development of low Earth orbit constellations, mega constellation, I would say, a word about. We have congestion also about the frequency band that many satellites are using, which is more and more congested, and it's, as you know, the allocations of frequencies is a complicated stuff organized by the ITU, and this is going to get more and more complex, in particular because we're going to have a flood of small satellites and nanosatellites also require some frequencies. So this is really a problem. Space is contested. Contested in all orbits. Low orbit, medium Earth orbits, and geo. Why? Because we have, some countries have developed capabilities to occupy the orbits, and even capabilities to, I would say, deny, deceive, degrade, disrupt or even destroy a particular space asset. And this is a reality which has been demonstrated so far, at least by three major countries, the US, China, and Russia. So this is certainly a threat that we have to cope with. There is also contestation also about frequencies, also radio frequencies also. Space is competitive, it's obvious, there is a lot of competition to put satellites on the geo arc. This is one area of competition, which is clear. Competition will also occur in low Earth orbit mega constellations to come, because we can't occupy a single orbit. There will be competition among a few orbits. And you can look what Greg Wyler said a couple of days ago. The situation is getting more and more complex, but it's there. It's going to be with 900 satellites and probably 1,000 satellites, so this is complicated. Competition also amongst the manufacturers of satellites. They are less and less major manufacturers. The competition is very harsh. And of course, competition among the launching operators. The European ones, which for the moment are quite still robust. Two major competitors coming from the US, which are private, essentially SpaceX, and probably Blue Origin to come. And of course, as it was mentioned, other competitors like India with the PSLV, or other countries. And probably, but this still remains to be demonstrated, a new class of competitors, essentially private competitors with micro-launchers or mini-launchers, which could open also a different market, but on this, it's still quite debatable. And I would say in addition, space is complex. It's getting more and more complex. If you take the words of Scottish anthropologist Tim Ingold, when he describes, a movement from point A to point B, you can draw a line. And he wrote a very nice book about the brief history of lines. And the lines in space are orbits, basically, so to speak. But today, because of the advent of new platforms in low Earth orbits, and probably in the future platforms around the Moon in cislunar orbits, or the advent of space docks, the situation is going to be a bit different. We're not going to go through lines, despite what physics says, but we're going to travel into space. And so this is going to be much more complicated, because we'll have to go from one orbit to another orbit, and vice versa, go to platforms, feed to the platforms, and step out of the platform and go elsewhere. So this is a new dimension, which is certainly coming up slowly, but absolutely surely. The Russians, 10 years ago already, were very much involved in trying to build up a platform and seeking the cooperation, in particular, of the Europeans. We did not respond at that time, but they view the fact that this is going to be a building block of space activities in the future. So, if I have 2 more minutes, to face these challenges, there has been a number of initiatives outside of the Outer Space Treaty, who has been taken in particular since the early 2000s. It's not a new treaty, is add-ons, is guidelines, is transparency and confidence building measures, because it's clear that the treaty doesn't solve everything. There are particular situations, complexification of situations, which needs to, I would say, get properly defined rules of the road. So far, and I'm going to be blunt, I'm sorry, Said and Jahar, so far, all these initiatives have failed, except 2, which are of technical nature. So just to summarize initiatives, the China and Russia have started an initiative in 2008, if I'm correct, preventing the placement of weapons in space and the use of threats against outer space objects. This is going nowhere for the moment. We, as Europeans, have started an international code of conduct that the EU introduced in 2008. So far, this code of conduct has failed. There has been a group of government experts, a union group of governmental experts, built up by the UN, to which Havashi was participating, who has laid down rules for transparency and confidence building measures. And today, this is regularly endorsed and, by the UNGA, but the practical implementation so far is not really started. And we have an initiative which is within the GOPIOS, which is the result of a working group on the long-term sustainability of outer space activities. There have been about 31 guidelines along which the group is working. 12 have been adopted, and it's foreseen that for Unispace Plus 50, this conference will be held in Vienna in June 2018, we will have a set of guidelines. But this is just a set of guidelines. The difficult ones are not going to be laid out, so we're still a bit short of what we were aiming at. And I would say the two successful initiatives which lead to results, one is the guidelines for debris mitigation, which were endorsed by the UNGA in 2007, thanks to the preparatory work of the Interagency Debris Committee, which found out some rules, how long you can have a satellite in orbit and what are the conditions to remove satellites from an orbit to, I would say, symmetry orbit. So this is a success. And probably a second success would be an American success, which is the following. By 2025, probably, the Americans will have the capability with a project called Space Fence to catalog, what is to follow, around 150 to 200,000 space objects, which is about 10 times what we can do today. So this certainly will enhance the security of space activities, the security of space assets. And this is technically feasible and reachable. So these are two very, very concrete measures. And I just want to conclude that facing or looking at the magnitude of the new challenges to come, we definitely have to rely very strongly on the Outer Space Treaty. It's absolutely a fantastic mistake if people want to renegotiate the treaty, because this will be opening a box of Pandora, and we don't know where we're going, in particular the weaponization of space. So we have to stick to the treaty, but we need to set up a range of rules of the road to make sure that we're still able to exploit our space asset in a sustainable, secure, and safe way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next speaker is Mark Roberts, CBE, Business Development Director, International Defence, Security and Space at Atkins. Sounds like you probably know.
I've never, throughout my career, I've never known what I've talked about.
Fair enough.
Well, I guess I've faced a problem getting this going now.
It's...
Well, good afternoon. Thank you very much indeed for the invitation to come and speak. Why am I here? Partly because I'm ill-equipped to say no. Side when he phones up and says, can you come and talk?
So
that's probably my video. But also because I think I've got a little bit of a track record in space security over the years. First of all, the reliance on space. I was a military pilot for a very long time, and I saw us go from not being reliant on space at all to being utterly reliant, rather worryingly reliant if you're a military man. And since I've left the military, well, I left in 2012, I have picked up a sort of business development role. I run a little security team, but I also picked up a business development role looking at space. Right now, I am also the project director for Spaceport One, which is our ambition to get a UK vertical launch space capability going by 2020, and we're still pushing for that date. So this is pretty important anyway, but it's important to me because I'm going to have to fit into whatever regime exists in terms of good behaviour as we move forward. There are lots of aspects of space security, some of which are being talked about a little bit later on, like food security and so on. I'm going to talk about two principally, which are cyber security and debris. The debris one has already been mentioned a fair amount, but I will try and talk a little bit more about that. I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to give you any answers. Probably lawyers don't give you answers anyway, that's what they're paid to do. But I will